everyone, and welcome to another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca Stainer, and today we're talking to Kevin Duncan. He's a business advisor, marketing expert, motivational speaker, and author. He's written over 20 books, which has sold over 250,000 copies. Now today we're talking to Kevin about the Smart Thinking book, 60 Bursts of Business Brilliance. And in particular, he'll be giving his 10 top tips on relationships in the workplace. So now over to Kevin. Number one.
Take the issues seriously, but not yourself. All jokes will be taken seriously. That's a sign at a border crossing. There are some really serious people around. To them, everything is such a big deal. Hubris, self-aggrandizement, arrogance, pomposity, self-importance. Call it what you like, but it doesn't have to be this way. It's perfectly possible to approach issues seriously while still adopting a light touch to personalities and people. A little self-deprecation goes a long way. We don't all have to be gun-slinging, brash, world-beating executives. In fact, none of us should be, really. So when it comes to work, take the issues seriously, but not yourself.
Number two.
What's in it for me? This simple question works in two very different directions. Both are highly poignant. First, directed inward to yourself. What's in it for me? This is a critical way to work out whether you want to do something or not. If you see no satisfaction in the task or project, then try to avoid it. Second, put yourself in the shoes of the other person and imagine them asking, "What's in it for me?" If you cannot generate a satisfactory answer on their behalf, then the other person is unlikely to agree with you or be satisfied with what you're asking them to do. People have to be sufficiently motivated in order to agree with you or perform well. It might be a financial point, but more often it's simply a matter of motivation.
Number three.
Manage modestly. The French philosopher Simone Weil said, "Humility is attentive patience." Humility goes a long way, and yet many managers are strident, hectoring, macho and domineering. It's not good enough. It's completely unnecessary, and it's not even an effective technique. You might think that there are benefits to this approach, but there are none. So, companies should be in search of managers with modesty, people who don't have to show off regularly, or brag incessantly, or always take the credit. So if you're hiring, look for modesty. And if you're managing people, show some humility and spread the joy a bit.
Number four.
Do X anticipate Y? Working out likely cause and effect only takes a few seconds. Consider for a moment, if I do X, then Y will, almost certainly, happen. You can then analyse whether Y is desirable or not before you act. If Y is desirable, then do X. If Y is irrelevant or inconsequential, then still do X. If Y is not desirable, then don't do X. This last one is arguably the hardest. Too many people do things that will clearly have undesired consequences, but they still do them anyway. Pausing to think for just a few seconds can remove thousands of instances of this happening.
Number five.
How broad is your church? A broad church has lots of different types of people in it. Variety is not only welcomed, but actively encouraged. So when you're putting teams together, do not hire in your own image. You will simply end up with lots of mini versions of you. Doubtless they will all have your talents and traits, but also all your faults and deficiencies. Hire character, train skill. So said Peter Schutz, the chief executive of Porsche. Be open-minded about different styles and embrace them to create a richly diverse team. Then allocate the right tasks to the right people. You can't ask 9 women to make a baby in a month. Dividing up work arbitrarily doesn't necessarily mean faster and better results. You need the right people doing the right stuff.
Number six.
20-mile march. Polar explorer Roald Amundsen beat Captain Scott to the South Pole by consistently marching 20 miles a day. He had worked out in advance that 20 miles was the optimum amount for a team with their equipment. In bad weather, the team did it anyway, and in good, they stopped at 20 to save energy for the next day. Scott's team either stayed in their tents on bad days or overshot on good ones and wore themselves out. The moral is that companies, teams, and individuals should aim for similar consistency. This is what the business authors Collins and Hansen call fanatic discipline. Don't ease off just because things are difficult, or overdo it when things are easy. Apply consistent 20-mile marches and ask the same of your colleagues.
Number 7.
Small things equals big difference. It seems the world is obsessed with everything being big. Here's an old joke. Texan. Where I come from, boy, I can drive all day and still be on my own land. Englishman. Yeah, I had a car like that once. Big doesn't necessarily mean good. It could even be bad. By contrast, there are tremendous advantages to making small changes. Behavioural science has shown that tiny variations in phraseology can cause huge change. Small changes are usually less costly and often free. Small changes attract less attention from bosses and meddlers, so they're easier to implement. Small changes are easier to rectify if they don't achieve their original objective. So bear in mind that the next big thing could be small.
Number 8.
Have you got a minute? Being personable costs nothing and makes your working life more pleasant. It also makes it better for everyone else. Constructive, thoughtful people attract more of the same. They give and earn respect, which means a calmer, less stressed working environment. Part of the knack is always having time to help out a colleague. So when they ask if you have a minute to discuss something, the answer should, within reason, be yes. This level of respect and attentiveness also allows you to be candid without being brusque. As actress and comedian Amy Poehler says, if you can speak about what you care about to a person you disagree with without denigrating them, then you may actually be heard. That's good news for everybody.
Number 9.
No show equals no say. Ever been to an important meeting where someone, often the most senior person, failed to turn up? The meeting proceeds, and the people who did have the courtesy to turn up agree something productive and useful. Sometime later, the senior person who wasn't there overrules or ignores the recommendation that the team has made. This is not on. No show equals no say. In other words, if you can't be bothered to turn up, then you forfeit your right to contribute, let alone exert a power of veto. Senior managers need to heed this. Breathlessly lurching from meeting to meeting, poorly briefed and underprepared, or failing to make it at all, is dysfunctional behaviour. Even worse, if you never made the meeting at all, then at least respect your people by letting them get on with it.
Number 10.
Everything louder than everything else. There's a Meatloaf song called Everything Louder Than Everything Else. This is roughly how many people operate in business, especially frenetic bosses. They want full throttle on everything. They initiate too many projects. They want their staff working all hours on all fronts. They don't set a single objective, they set multiple ones. And they want it all now, or possibly even yesterday. This leaves everyone confused and incapable of knowing what to deal with next. Setting clear priorities is critical. Be ruthless on tasks, remove low priority items, and set people running on one thing at a time.
Thank you so much to Kevin. Now do remember to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and at Lid Business Media on LinkedIn. We'll be sharing more podcasts, expert opinions and books. So take care, and thank you for listening to Lid Radio Podcast.